Good morning and bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We enjoyed a wonderful vacation time being with our grandsons and our son-in-law in Massachusetts. We got to do some great things like see Six Flags and the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I'll never walk in the shoes of Bob Lanier, that's for sure, because his feet are so huge. And Shaquille O'Neal, my God, it was really wonderful. But we had a great time, and we're very blessed to be back with you. We had been exploring some truths and facets of our sonship rights, those things which are of particular value as citizens in the kingdom of God. The value is freedom for an appropriate and suitable judgment for a moral society. And certainly in the kingdom of God, we have a great moral society that we can enjoy even in this day and time. That is, we are a holy people living in true, living in true holiness. It's not a holier than thou, but it's living in true holiness. And it's appropriate because it is to the glory of the Holy King and his kingdom and his wonderful dear son. Remember, our sonship rights include righteousness, redemption, justification, sanctification, and the ministry of reconciliation or the service of reconciliation. This morning, I'd like to look over our sonship right of sanctification. And as with all rites we've covered thus far, my goal is just to give you a sampling, to get your heart to more in the kingdom of God thinking, kingdom of God consideration. A lot of times I say, I present this for your consideration, and I don't mean in the sense of whether it's true or not. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't be teaching it. But in the consideration of how can I... Is there things in there that he said that I can start putting into my life? Is there things in that was taught that maybe, you know, I didn't think of that, and I'd really like to start living more that way? Or I've been contemplating how I can live more loving for God, more representative of a child of God, and my attitude and my approach of life as a son of God, who God has given these great and precious promises and all these accomplishments of Jesus Christ that have just been set there for me, that I don't have to try to achieve. All I need to do is walk in them. I want to consider how I can do that. And that's kind of the implication I'd like for you to look at it with, so that we know the kingdom of God is in us, and the kingdom of God spans all time, so obviously it must span this particular part of time. Even though we are living in the world, we are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we ought to live like citizens of the kingdom of God and enjoy them even in this present evil world, because it is the exact opposite of what true holiness is and what sanctification represents. Remember, the kingdom of God spans all of eternity. Within it, there are other events such as the first heaven and earth, the second heaven and earth, and the third heaven and earth is all part of eternity. The kingdom of heaven, where the representative of that kingdom, Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom of heaven, was personally upon the earth. That's part of the overall kingdom of God, which spans all of eternity. So all these different things are part and parcel to eternity. The various administrations that we understand from the Word of God, like the paradise, the patriarchal, the law, the church of grace, etc., all of these are part of eternity. And all of these, but everything falls under the kingdom of God, which spans all of eternity. I tend to want to say spans all time, but there's really no time because it's eternal. But the way we speak, it comes out that way. But I want you to understand this is forever. This is all all of eternity, all time. Remember, Jesus told his disciples that the kingdom of God is in you. Even in this current administration, the kingdom of God is in you, and we can live as citizens of his kingdom now. We can live it with regard to the particular administration that we're currently under, which is the Church of Grace, or the Grace Administration, however you want to look at it particularly. But under that, we can live it and enjoy the benefits of being citizens of God. Right now, we do have opposition because we do have an enemy, which will no longer exist once we get to the return of Jesus Christ and the judgments and some of the other things that will take place. And there's still plenty of eternity left for us to enjoy the kingdom of God without opposition. So we have the right and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ as our Savior, and by exercising the rights, we can live holily and godly. So let's look at our sonship rite of sanctification. The essence of sanctification is to be set apart or separated out for a godly purpose. I don't mean apart in the sense that it's a negative. I don't want to look at it as a negative. But we have a separate godly purpose. Maybe that's a way to put it. It's not us against them, so to speak. You know, we're separate, or we're holier than you are, or we're this and we're that. We're separate in the sense that we have a special function to carry out, a special thing to do while in this life. The word sanctification, there's a certain amount of protections involved in that. I think of the term that comes from that same root word, a sanctuary. We have sanctuary cities where in that, our view, or the current view, the current wisdom of the world, the logic is they can keep you safe from the government from prosecuting you for being here illegally. So now we have a sanctuary city, and you can go there and you can live without being, and they'll protect you from prosecution. That's not it. We have a sanctuary in that we have complete rights and God's wonderful protections and blessings on our lives, and we have been given the authority to exercise that while we're in the kingdom of God. Like I say, we have an enemy, we have an adversary, but we also have power and authority over that enemy and adversary. We don't have to hide in a particular city. Remember, Jesus Christ told his disciples, "Go ye into all the world, everywhere, preaching the gospel." So our sanctuary is the greatness of God's word and the greatness of his kingdom. We have freedom throughout that. It's kind of a misnomer the way that the government or the journalists or society in general looks at sanctuary. It's not to protect us from the government. It's to help us enjoy the benefits of God's government. But we're set apart for a godly purpose. And that godly purpose is our sacred service for God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we are separated for, to bring other people into that eternal life, like Connie shared during our song service. So let's look at our rite of sanctification, and I'd like to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is included within all the other purposes and things that we may have in life, but we are set apart to carry out this particular service in a dynamic and wonderful, blessed way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound yet more and more. Or over, you know, abounding to the end that you're just overflowing with the blessing of it. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is what you're set apart for. This is your special service that includes everyone else, doesn't separate you from everyone else, but helps you, gives you a special purpose for the blessing of everyone else, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess or how to control, operate self-control or utilize your life in a positive way. His vessel in sanctification and, what's the next word? Honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So it sets for us. We're not to be sanctified. We're not doing it to be sanctified. We do it because we're sanctified. We saw the way that Paul, he's telling the Thessalonians, you saw the way I lived. You saw the blessings that I've enjoyed. You've also seen the hard work that it takes at times. You've also seen how the patience it takes. But you've also seen the joy of people we have served the bread of life to and have taken Jesus Christ as their Lord and rejoice in knowing that they now have eternal life, that they have no fear of the future, but great anticipation of the future, as well as the blessings and joy that God has afforded us in this life by Jesus Christ. It's not something you have to attain. It's something you have already been given. Our sanctification is there. It's for us to utilize. And one of the ways we can utilize it is by the life that we live. So don't get caught up in the things of the world. You know, don't get stuck into the things of the world. There, Corinthians sets forth a great illustration of the wisdom of words versus the wisdom of God, or God's wisdom, or the word of wisdom, as opposed to the wisdom of words. And I'm going to show you a little bit about that as we go forward. But our sanctification begins with our cleansing. Because sanctification, its essence and its word means to be pure, to be holy, to be just as well. It's a purity, sanctified. It's just a great blessing of purity. And it begins with our cleansing because we live in this world and things happen and we kind of scuff ourselves up, so to speak, in the way that we're living our lives. But remember 1 John. 1 John says when we're not living that way, when we're not living holy, when we're not living purely, 1 John 1:9 tells us, in verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's not in our mind. That's why we've been deceived. But we want to get back to it. We want to get back to living sanctification. We want to get back to living holiness. We want to get back to living our lives as children of God, whom God loves. living as children who know and believe the love that God has for us and all of the benefits of that, living like people who are sanctified, been set apart to help people enjoy being citizens of his kingdom. So if we're not living that way when we sin, when we fall out of that, how do we get back to it? Well, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what's the next part? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means then we represent righteousness once again. As far as God's concerned, we're cleared on the matter. We're ready to go. Live like somebody who's sanctified. Live like somebody who is blessed. The word cleansed means it leaves no stain. If there's no stain, then there's no remembrance. There is no mark. There is no blemish. Know you are forgiven and live like one who's been forgiven. Cleansed of all unrighteousness because we are righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go there. Just back up a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. See, we're spiritually sanctified. We were sanctified when we received the gift of Holy Spirit. We were set apart for this wonderful, significant, special service of bringing other people to eternal life, bringing healing, as Michelle prayed for, and deliverance to people. We have the right to do that because God set us apart for that. And that is not going to be taken from us. It says, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Isn't that beautiful? See, we're cleansed where you can act with obedience again. You don't have a period that you have to wait a little while till, you know, God gets soothed or that stain sort of, maybe it'll go away in the sun, get bleached out. No, it's immediate. You can start acting with obedience and confidence. I've been forgiven. I'm moving ahead. I am righteous. I have the right of righteousness. I have the right of sanctification. I have been set apart to do these things. I can win people with confidence and not thinking back, well, you used to do that. You used to be a sinner. That's right. The key word is used to be. Don't forget that. I used to be, but I am not now, and I live in the right now in the kingdom of God. See, you don't have sin consciousness. Sin consciousness will never allow that. It is not one of the 12 steps. Our sanctification is absolutely certain. It's not one of the 12 steps where I've got to go and apologize to everybody I've ever offended and all that. You got the Word of God mixed up with the 12 steps, and I'm not in that either. I have been forgiven by God. God has forgiven me, and I can act with confidence on the Word and carry out the wonderful sacred service He has given me and authorized me to do with full confidence, knowing the great power of God. See? Because I've been cleansed by His precious blood, and there is no stain. It's a figure of speech. It's by the life of Jesus Christ. Some people don't want you to be clean. They want you to remain stained and don't want you to be clean, cleansed. Because they carry a grudge and they're looking forward to some time you're going to get payback, buddy. Well, I've been paid, and the price has been paid. There's nothing more to pay. Jesus Christ took care of all of that so that I can walk with confidence and help other people, not walk in shame and hide myself or search for some sanctuary city where I'd be hidden from prosecution. No, I'm not looking for that. See, I've been cleansed. They want you to be unfit for the godly purpose and want you, and because they remain unfit. And certainly the adversary, who's never confessed his wrongs ever, wants you to be filled with sin consciousness so that you're unable to carry out those activities, or think you're unable to carry out those activities because the stain of shame still remains. But you've been cleansed. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been cleared. You are pure. Pure, 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 because of what Jesus Christ did. And that is the benefit we have. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Isn't that good to know? And the reason that we know is right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be what?
Ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is no stain. Sin consciousness is not a part of your life. You are free to begin to act anew. You are free to be, to continue in righteousness. You are free to continue in sanctification. You are free to continue in justification. You are free to continue in righteousness. You are free to continue the service of reconciliation full force. Study, that's what it says. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And we are not ungodly, we are righteous. We are not ungodly, we are sanctified. We are not ungodly, we've been redeemed. We are not ungodly, we've been justified, and we have the right to carry out full force, clean, absolutely confident with the service of reconciling men and women back to God. Mm-hmm. But shun profane and vain babblings, because what are they going to do? They're going to increase unto more ungodliness, because it keeps pushing you back. You need to do this. You need to do this. Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ did that too. And he did that also. And he did that also. As a matter of fact, he did everything that takes care of me, because I confessed him as my Lord and I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it leaves no stain. And their words will eat as doth a canker, as a cancer. And we are cancer free. Of whom Hymenaeus and Phygellus and these other fellows did, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. It's not only absolute, it's been stamped. It's got the seal of the kingdom of God on it. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from
iniquity.
Don't let people keep putting you back into iniquity. Don't let the adversary really keep putting you back. It's easy to criticize. It's very easy to criticize. It's very easy to tear people down. It's very easy to point there and point to that and point to that. But God knows them that are His. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness and all iniquity. So no matter how far you want to point, keep pointing and pointing. You're never going to reach the spot because it's been completely wiped away. There is no stain. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. So now, how do I depart from iniquity? I just start being obedient to the word. I just start with the obedience. Yes, I need to go out very confidently, and I need to take care of my sonship, right, of the service of reconciliation. And because I am sanctified, because I am righteous, because I am redeemed, because I am justified. These are all the things. These are my rights. You don't forfeit them. You can't give them up. These are our rights. So we can begin immediately. Then it goes on, verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to, it says dishonor, it's actually less honor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What's the next word?
Sanctified.
Sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Every good work includes healing and deliverance. And we have the right to move forward on that. Don't live as the world lives. Speak, and don't speak as the world speaks. Speak as the word speaks. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go back there. The worldly may have the wisdom of words, but unto us God gives the word of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I thought I knocked you down. You keep getting back up. I thought I really laid you out flat, that you'd never come up. You just keep getting up. How in the world do you do that? Because I trust God. And when He says, when I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I have forgiveness. Beautiful, wonderful. And I'm ready to get going with the things of God. How long do I have to wait? I don't. Immediately. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and
sanctification
and redemption. Beautiful. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The world may have the wisdom of words, but unto us is given the word of wisdom. I think about the wisdom of words. You know, there's that saying, he's a legend in his own mind. I've been reading one of the great things that the intellectual mind has come up with is artificial intelligence. Isn't that the latest thing? Mm-hmm. We have artificial intelligence. We will be able to do so much with artificial intelligence. Well, first of all, the word artificial means imitation, not genuine or real. So how something that is an imitation, that is not genuine or real, going to help us in these great efforts? It is, artificial intelligence is not greater than intelligence. That's why I say they got the wisdom of words. They use words and they throw these words around and you sit there and say, oh my gosh, they are so smart. We have advanced so much. And what did we come up with? A robot to have sex with. That's our artificial intelligence. It's very artificial. How in the world is that, with all of your thinking and all of your mind and the combination of all these geniuses get together, and the best thing and the first thing that we come up, our masterpiece, is a robot you can have sex with, a machine that you can have sex with? You want to talk about, I don't know. It's not greater, in fact, it's lesser. Intelligence means the capacity for reasoning and comprehend truth. And the first project they have is sex robots. Perverted fantasy, intercourse with a machine, and it's fake. So what we are involved in, the word of wisdom tells us, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The sanctification of God sets us apart for a godly purpose, healing, not replacing. Deliverance, not delusion. The word of wisdom, not the words of or the wisdom of words that distract us from the truth. This will eat like a canker, but the word delivers us from destruction. The sanctification, the holy purpose, is enjoying that which is allotted for us to receive of the inheritance of God in his kingdom. Go to Acts 20. And in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Set apart to do a wonderful purpose, to have a glorious service of reconciling men and women back to God. The word of wisdom, there are rewards coming. Acts 26. And in verse 16. Verse 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to
light.
Right. The greatest accomplishment we can come up with is a machine to have sex with. How about this? Opening their eyes to turn them from darkness to light. To light. And from the exercised power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Isn't that beautiful? Let's go to, I think we'll just end it right there. Because see, in this life, we can be persuaded by the wisdom of words, but let's be persuaded by the wisdom of God, the word of wisdom. Because our life is to bless and serve with the words of God's wisdom. We're set apart for a godly purpose, to joyfully love and serve for God who loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Bless your hearts.